Welcome to the First Baptist Church Podcast, a ministry of First Baptist Church in Cumming, Georgia. To find out more about FBC Cumming, please visit us online at fbccumming.org.
Hey, good morning, church. On this happy Thanksgiving week, I'm thankful for so much, as I'm sure you are as well. Thankful for my wife, Carrie, for my boys, Silas and Hudson. Thankful for friends and family members that we'll get to see this week. Thankful in advance for the turkey and dressing that I will enjoy in several different places this week. Thankful for this series on the book of Philippians. Thankful for Pastor Jed, our new pastor, taking us through this book of Philippians. And I'm thankful for the opportunity to get to close it out. And in baseball terms, I'll try not to blow the save. But thankful for what God is teaching us through this book of Philippians. Today, as we close out the book, we'll be in Philippians 4, starting with verses 14 and then go through 19 or 20. I'm thankful for our church and all that God is doing in and through our church right here on campus, but also through our mission partners. Thankful for mission partners like Susie Thompson. Susie is a missionary, serves in Portland, Oregon, with a college ministry there. Susie grew up in our church, came to know Jesus in our church, baptized, discipled, then had opportunities to serve in the church, and then went off to college and had opportunities to serve in a local church in college. And now she's in Portland, Oregon, showing and sharing the hope of Jesus with university students from around the world, doing great work there. She just moved there recently. And so a little bit different today, but I want to invite you to turn to Philippians 4 and follow along. I'm not going to read it, though. I've invited Susie to read our passage this morning via video from Portland, Oregon. So watch this as you follow along in Philippians 4.
Good morning from Portland, Oregon. My name is Susie Thompson, and I am one of your Acts 1-8 Global City partners. So I thank you for your generous giving to the Acts 1-8 Missions Fund, because that goes to support missionaries like me and others all around the world. And I also get to read with you an encouraging passage this morning from Philippians 4. We'll start in verse 14. It says, "Yet it was kind of you to share my trouble. And you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen." This is the word of the Lord. I'm thankful for you, FBC. I hope you have a great Thanksgiving.
All right, let's pray together. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for this passage. And the whole book of Philippians, just reminding us to rejoice always in who you are and what you're doing around us, regardless of our circumstances. God, we're reminded throughout the book of Philippians just to trust you and to know that we can experience all things through Christ who strengthens us. And God, as we look at this passage today, just challenge us, teach us, convict us if we need to be convicted, and inspire us to be the church that you have called us to be. And it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. In 2006, my wife Carrie and I moved from Louisville, Kentucky down to Nashville, Tennessee to plant a church. We didn't really know what we were doing. We had no primary partner supporting church. We had very little startup funds. We were just living on a prayer. We weren't even halfway there. I mean, we were just living on a prayer and just trying to do what God was calling us to do. I had not yet graduated from seminary, and so about a month later, I had to drive up to Louisville and do my final exams. And the night before my final exams, I was studying hard in my hotel room, and Carrie called me on the phone, and I answered, and she said, "Michael, are you sitting down?" I said, "Well, no, but I can be." And this was unexpected news, an unexpected call, so it could be either really good or really bad. And she said, "Michael, I just walked out to the mailbox, and in the mailbox was a $30,000 check. I mean, you talk about being floored, and you talk about being encouraged. And because of that generous giving of from that individual or that couple, who wasn't even part of the church that we were starting, wasn't even close friends with them really at the time. I mean, just enclosed with that check was a note that said, "Michael, we heard about what you're doing. We believe that there's a need for Jesus in this city, and we believe in what you're doing." And because of the generous giving of that couple, Carrie and I were encouraged to press on. Lives were changed by Jesus, and most importantly, God was honored. There is no substitute for generous giving. In God's sovereign design, He's just set it up this way, that God uses the generous giving of His people to accomplish His purposes in the world. That's just the way God's economy works. And God's economy is radically different from the world's economy, right? The world says, spend as much as you want on you. And God says, give sacrificially to those in need. The world says, get rich, make more. Store up more for yourself. The world says, be rich in good works and be ready to share. The world says, hey, you're blessed. Go get more. God says, yeah, you're blessed to be a blessing, to give more. The world says, money will give you the hope and the satisfaction and the security that you need. God says, no, 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 no. I am your hope. I'm your satisfaction. I will supply all your needs. The church in Philippi embraced God's economy. They gave generously to their mission partner, the Apostle Paul, and Paul was grateful for their generosity. I mean, he loved the church in Philippi, not just because of what they gave him financially, but he was encouraged by their relationship with him. And if we will embrace God's economy and give generously, we will push back the darkness. Not just in our own community, but all around the world. If we will embrace God's economy and give generously, we will make an eternal difference in people's lives. No doubt about it. If we will embrace God's economy and we will give generously, then we just might see God do out of the ordinary, crazy, miraculous things through our church and through our church's mission partner. The church in Philippi was planted by Paul, the first church he planted in Europe, around 50 AD. And as I said, there was a relationship there that motivated Paul, because of the support he was receiving from the church in Philippi, to take the good news of Jesus all across the Roman Empire. Paul was all about pushing back the darkness, and so he appreciated this partnership that he had with the church in Philippi, and so he wrote 10 plus years later, wrote this love letter to the church in Philippi from his prison room in Rome as he awaited trial before Caesar. And Paul wrote these words to all the saints. We've talked about this throughout this series, all the saints in Philippi. So these verses are not just for church leaders or pastors or staff or scholars. These words are for all of God's people, everyone who has a personal relationship with Jesus and who is a member of his church. These words from Philippians are preserved for us, for First Baptist Coming in 2024, to help us be the church that he wants us to be, to help us push back the darkness, and to be the best church we can be by God's grace and power. And so here's what we're going to do today. We're going to look at four reasons why we should give generously to our mission partners. And I want us all to leave here today more motivated, more encouraged, more excited, more inspired to give generously to our great mission partners who are doing amazing work right here locally and all around the world. So, reason number one, And you can follow along in your notes. I've got some fill in the blanks if you're one of those that likes to take notes, which I'm one, so I'm good with that. Number one, when we give generously to our mission partners, we advance God's mission. And this comes from verse 15. And you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership. That's a key word, so underline that, circle it, highlight it. No church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. The Greek word for partnership is koinonia. So everybody repeat after me, koinonia. That sounds good. One more time, koinonia. Yeah, isn't that a beautiful word? And it means sometimes translated fellowship. But it's much more than having a meal together over food, although that's great. We should do those. We should do that. It's more than being in a classroom studying the Bible together, although that's a good thing. It's more than sitting or standing here in the worship center and singing songs, although we should do that. That's a good thing. Scholar and author D.A. Carson says that in the first century, if somebody wanted to start a fishing business, then they would buy a fishing boat. So let's say it's Travis and Adam, all right, and they want to start this fishing business. They're going to buy a boat, all right? They enter into a koinonia, a partnership, a fellowship. But there are two things that are true here. There's a relationship there, so Travis and Adam know each other, but it's much more than a relationship. There's a business there. There's a goal. There's a mission. And so that's exactly what was happening with the church in Philippi and their partnership with the Apostle Paul. They had a relationship with each other, but there was a goal. There was God's business that they were about. There was a mission that they were trying to advance, and it was God's mission. The Philippian church's generous giving supported the advancement of God's mission through Paul. And after he planted the church in Philippi, he then took the good news of Jesus to other cities over the next 10 plus years. After planting the church in Philippi, he went to Thessalonica, then Berea, and then over the next 10 plus years, cities like Corinth, Ephesus, Athens, Caesarea, and eventually Rome. In 2024 and into 2025, our church has this amazing privilege and responsibility to support, to give generously to our mission partners, and to see God work in and through them. In 2025, our local community partners include, here's a list of them, Multicultural Ministry, led by Wanderson Goncalves, Friends of India, led by Joshua Sundaraj, good to see you, man. Joshua just got married November 9th, congratulations, all right, Joshua, yeah. Orphan Ministry, led by Mark Wethington, Whispering Hope Pregnancy Center, a lot of groups involved with them. Forsyth County Schools, which includes Feed Forsyth Children, Fellowship of Christian Athletes, led by Brian Weaver, Coming Home Ministries. I just had lunch with the executive director of Coming Home Ministries this week, Karen Rivera, and she was just telling me about the requests that they have on a monthly basis, up to 30 requests every month for people who are seeking counseling for addiction and drug recovery. Up to 30 per month. And she said it costs $500 per person, which means that they are investing $15,000 a month to meet the needs of people in our community who are seeking help for drug and alcohol addiction. Family Haven, domestic violence shelter here in our community, the place of Forsyth County, Family Promise of Forsyth. Today we have, starting today all through the rest of this week, we're housing four families who are experiencing homelessness starting today here on our campus for the rest of the week. Lots of groups and individuals and families involved in helping with that. And then we have several church plants in our community, Hope Church, and you'll hear more about them next week, and then Everlove Korean Church. It cost, our church approved the budget Sunday night, $126,000 to support these local community partners at least. In 2025, here's a list of our global city partners, just to show the world map. Portland, Oregon, you heard from Susie. Lynch, Kentucky. Bristol, Birmingham, and London, England. Turin, Italy. Pattaya, Thailand. And a city in Southeast Asia that we can't disclose for security reasons. Many of them are members of our church, have been members of our church, or grew up in our church that we have sent out to these cities around the world. Now, sometimes people will ask me, okay, well, what happens when people do not hear and respond to the good news of Jesus? What happens? Well, I don't make the rules up, but here's what the Bible says. The Bible says that those apart from faith, who do not have faith, who do not surrender their lives to Jesus, are separated from God. They're not reconciled to God. They're unforgiven. They're without hope in this world. And they're headed for hell. God's rules, not mine. So for the sake of tens of thousands of people in coming Georgia who do not have a personal relationship with Jesus, we've got to give. And for the sake of the millions of people in the global cities around the world, we've got to give generously, consistently, sacrificially, urgently, and joyfully. Do you want to advance God's mission? Because here's the deal. Like, we're all living and giving for a mission. The question is, are you living and giving for your mission or for God's mission? So do you want to advance God's mission? Give generously to our mission partners. That's reason number one. Number two, when we give generously to our mission partners, we encourage our partners. This comes from verses 14 and 16. Paul writes, "Yet it was kind of you to share my trouble." In verse 16, "Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again." It wasn't just a one-time thing. It was a long-term relationship and partnership there. Their financial support encouraged Paul, and as he lived on mission, Paul experienced trouble or hardships. We've seen this throughout the book of Philippians. In Thessalonica, again, right after he planted in Philippi. In Thessalonica, opponents of the gospel caused an uproar and pushed Paul out of that city. Wherever he went, there were challenges. As he said in 2 Corinthians 11, "Five times I received the 40 lashes, minus one from the Jews. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I received a stoning. Three times I was shipwrecked. I have spent a night and a day in that open sea. On frequent journeys, I faced dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my own..." I mean, this is worse than a country song. "Dangers from Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers at sea, dangers among false brothers, toil and hardship, many sleepless nights, hunger and thirst, often without food, cold and without clothing. Not to mention other things. There is the daily pressure on me, my concern for all the churches." Our church's mission partners, and I get to talk, as missions pastor, look, I get to talk to our mission partners more than anybody else. And so I get to hear stories, I get to hear what they're going through. But believe me, our mission partners experience daily challenges and pressures more than we will ever know. Spiritual warfare, more than we'll ever know or see. And they need our encouragement. This week, I asked one of our local community partners, Joseph Lee. He is a church planter, planted recently Everlove Korean Church. And I said, "Joseph, just send me a couple of sentences that express your gratitude for our partnership with you." And here's what he said. "I once thought I was fighting alone on the front lines, but your church's support has reminded me that I have a strong headquarters backing me. Thanks to your generosity, we have begun supporting 4 missionaries." Isn't that amazing? "You have become a source of blessing, and because of you, First Baptist, we have become a channel of that blessing." We just happen to have this morning one of our longtime partners and friends here from London, England, Carl Porter. So I want to invite Carl to come up. Give Carl a hand. Yeah. Carl and his family have been a huge blessing for us, and I just wanted, since he's here, he's here for Chick-fil-A, and then he's here to share this. Not today, though, man, not today, sorry. But I just asked Carl to just share just a few minutes, what our partnership with him has been like, and just how that's encouraged him. So thanks, Carl.
Yeah, thank you, Michael. Good morning, everybody. It's lovely to be back with
you. Nice accent, by the way. Yeah.
Yeah, thank you. As I said, I've been working on this all my life.
Right. So, you're doing good, man.
It's coming on. It's coming on. Yeah, I'm It's Thanksgiving week, so firstly, I just want to give thanks for all of you. We've been partners with this church, I think, since 2017, and there's so much I could say about how your partnership has blessed and encouraged us. But we're in a we've been in a town that's less than 1% Christian, trying to bring the gospel there, and at times it can get really lonely. And one of the most incredible things that members of this church have done for us is they've just been inspired by the Spirit to write a note, to send some scripture, and a little envelope will drop through our letterbox, and we'll open it up, and we'll just feel your love, and we'll feel your encouragement, and it just helps us to keep going. In God's kindness, we've made really deep friendships with people in this church. This is a last-minute trip that I've taken, but I know if me or anybody in my family comes to this place, we will receive a warm welcome in this church, but we'll be welcome in people's homes. We'll have a place to stay. We'll have food in our tummy, even Chick-fil-A. Yeah. And that's just an incredible blessing. And then as you give financially to mission partners, well, that enabled me to step away from work and to push full-time into ministry. And as a result of that, with your giving, your prayers, like in our town, every single door was knocked on. People who've never heard the gospel before, people who've never been prayed for before have heard the gospel and they've been prayed for. We've had teams that have come from this church. We've got Lynn and Kim here who have become dear friends to us, who came for several weeks to help just advance the gospel as well. And again, through that, we've reached more people than we would have been able to reach on our own. The Lord has blessed me and giving me opportunities over these years to go to different churches around the UK and to train people how to share the gospel. Just 2 weeks ago, I was training 100 people for a whole weekend how to share the gospel in their workplace in the centre of London. Like, who knows what the Lord will do through those people and those gospel seeds that have been sown? I'm utterly convinced as a result of your faithfulness, your love of Jesus, your obedience and your love of the lost, there's going to be and continue to be lives transformed from hearing the gospel now and in eternity. And we won't even get to hear about it until we get to that wonderful heavenly banquet. And one of the things that I'm most looking forward to as we all sit around that table is just hearing the story of how God put it all together and how God takes what we give and how we serve and he blesses and multiplies it. On behalf of me, on behalf of my family, I just want to say a huge, huge thank you to all of us. Like, we love you dearly. So thank you.
Thanks. Stay up here. Let's, yeah. And again, we see that in Paul's writings, just how there's mutual blessing or mutual encouragement that comes from true partnership. And so that's been the case for the last 7 years with Carl and his family and his ministry. Yes, they've been blessed. He shared that, but we have been blessed. We've been encouraged as a church. I have been personally encouraged and blessed. I see some who just recently went with me to England, and just the encouragement, the blessing that's come from just being there and spending time with our partners. So thank you for all you're doing, all you'll continue to do. I want us to just, while he's here on stage, let's pray for Carl and his family. God, thank you for Carl and Sarah and Lyra and Sophie. Thank you for how you've used them, and we know without a doubt you're going to continue to use them. We just pray that they stay dependent on you, that you continue to empower them, continue to open up doors for them to serve in your mission. God, that you would continue to give them the boldness that they need to share the good news of Jesus. God, we're just in faith, again, looking forward to the advancement of your mission through the faithfulness of Carl and his family. And again, thank you for the partnership that we've had. God, just continue to show us how we can come alongside and encourage their work. And it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Thanks, ma'am. So do you want to encourage our mission partners? Give generously to our mission partners. That's reason number two. Reason number three, when we give generously to our mission partners, we are blessed. This comes from verse 17. Not that I seek the gift, Paul says. So Paul was not greedy. He was not a prosperity, wealth, and health teacher. He's not seeking money just to get wealthy. He says, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. Paul actually wanted them to know the blessing and the reward of giving. That's what he was more focused on. That was, yes, he received financial support. That was great for him. But he wasn't seeking that as much as he was seeking the fruit or the blessing or the reward that they were going to receive and that they were already receiving from their support of Paul. Commenting on this verse, scholar Richard Mellick wrote, "Genuine giving seeks no personal benefits." So, in other words, that's not what motivates us. It's not what should motivate us. Nevertheless, giving brings blessings to both giver and receiver. And I love this. That's why I highlighted it. I love this. In God's economy, the blessings outweigh the sacrifice. And if you give, if you're a giver, you know that from experience. And as good as that quote is, how much better is the quote from Jesus himself who said, "It is more blessed to give than to," yeah. He's not, Jesus is no liar. He's telling the truth. Again, we know this from even practical experience. I've already started shopping for Christmas. Maybe some of you have. I've actually bought my wife a few things. And they're not in this service. I don't think they'll go back and watch the message. So can I trust you all not to tell? Too much. Okay, thank you for being honest, Lynn. all right, maybe I shouldn't. All right, I won't tell you what I got my wife, but I'm so excited. I'm so looking forward to, we open up one Christmas, one present Christmas Eve, and then the rest on Christmas morning. I can't wait for her to open up what I've given her. Like, I'm looking forward to that more than I'm looking forward to what I'm going to get from her or from the boys. I will tell you this. So Hudson, my youngest son, I mean, for years, it's hardly a day goes by he doesn't bug me about this. Not years, but at least the last year. He's like, "Dad, you need a new leaf blower. You need a new leaf blower, man. Dad, come on, man. You need a new blower." I think he said it to me yesterday again. Look at those leaves, Dad. You need a new leaf blower. So I'm going to get, again, this is between us. I'm going to get a new leaf blower for him this Christmas. And I can't wait for him to look at, to open that up. I don't know if I'm wrap it or not, but I can't wait for him to see that, you know, on Christmas morning. And then put him to work. Pastor Alistair Begg said that it's not a bad idea. It's not. It's a good idea to have an IRA, an individual retirement account. That's a good idea. But it's also important, if you're a real deal Christ follower, to have an IEA, an individual eternal account. In other words, our giving should be focused on investing in what's going to matter 1,000 years from now or 10,000 years from now. And the more that we put into that IEA, the more people will have the chance to hear the good news of Jesus. And the more who hear about Jesus, the more likely people will respond to that good news, and the more people will surrender to Jesus and discover reconciliation with God, peace with God, hope in this life, and hope for all of eternity. And the more that we put into that IEA, the more that we will experience the tremendous blessing of impacting lives for eternity. Do you want to be blessed in that way? Do you want to be blessed? Then give generously to our mission partners. Finally, reason number four. When we give generously to our mission partners, we please God. Verses 18 and 19. Paul writes, "I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice." This is worship language here. "A sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God." Verse 19, "And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus." So there's worship language there and there's faith language there. And that's because we please God, because giving is an act of worship. When we give generously and sacrificially, we show that we treasure God more than we treasure our treasures. When we give generously and sacrificially, we're telling God, "God, your kingdom is more important than my kingdom. Your mission is more important than my mission. Your purposes in the world are more important than my purposes." And God is pleased. God is worshiped with that kind of giving. But you also notice that giving is an act of faith, and we please God because giving is an act of faith. When Paul writes in verse 19, my God will supply every need of yours, that's a statement of faith. And Paul lived this out. Paul trusted God to provide each step of the way. And he wanted the church in Philippi to experience that and to have that kind of trust and faith in God. Even though they were giving, they could still trust that God will supply not every greed, but every need that they had. We please God because giving is an act of faith. And so when we give generously, we're telling God, God, I trust you. I trust you to use what I'm giving to advance your mission and to meet needs around the world. I'm trusting you. I'm having faith in you. But also when we give, we're telling God, God, even though I'm giving, I'm trusting you to provide for my needs as well. I have needs and I'm trusting you to provide in my life and for my family. Do you want to please God? Then give generously to our mission partner. So I shared four reasons why we should give generously to our mission partners. You may say, well, Michael, well, what about practically, like how do we do that? What's next? Here are three practical next steps real quick, okay? It's give your life, give your money, give your time. Give your life, give your money, give your time. First, give your life to Jesus. This is first and foremost, of course. 2 Corinthians 5:15, it's the gospel in a nutshell. It says that he, Jesus, died for all. So that's why he came. He came to die. So that those who receive his new life, in other words, those who put their faith in what Jesus has done, they're not going to trust in themselves anymore. They're not going to trust in their good works. They're not going to put their hope in anything else but Jesus. Those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves, but will live for the one who died and rose again for them. 2 Corinthians 5:15 is beautiful. Because it communicates this reality that once you surrender to Jesus, he changes you. He changes your plans. He changes your priorities. He changes your budgets. And so you're so amazed at the generosity that God has shown you through Jesus that you can't help but be generous to others. So first and foremost, give your life to Jesus because he'll turn you into a generous giver. He'll do it. Number two, give your money to Acts 1-8 missions. Yes, you should give to the general offering. I get that. But we're talking about giving and supporting mission partners. And that we do that through Acts 1-8 missions fund. And you can give online. Will's already talked about that. You can give using a check, but you can. There's a drop-down. The drop-down menu, there's Acts 1-8 missions fund or Acts 1-8 missions. And you can give directly to that. And giving to that supports our local and global city partners. And then number three, give your time to support and serve our mission partners. I put a QR code on your message handout. If you have that, you can use that. On your YouVersion or Bible app, there's a link there. It takes you to a document. Thank you, Carrie Ann. Takes you to a document that shows a list of local community partners on one page, list of global city partners on the other page. It has point people for each of those partners. All you have to do is reach out directly to those partners. Ask how you can get involved, ask how you can pray, ask how you can serve, ask them what they need. I guarantee you, when you develop that relationship, that connection with mission partners, you will want to give generously to them. That's just the way it happens. And Paul knew that because of the relationship that he had with the church in Philippi. I know of a teenager in our church who decided this week that he was going to give some of his money to our Acts 1-8 mission partners. He only works about 5 hours a week, I think. So he can't have much in his bank account. But he wants to give generously. And he did give generously this week to the church, to the general offering. And then above and beyond even that, to our Acts 1-8 mission offering. Why? Why would he do that? A teenager. Because he knows that God will use that giving, his giving, to advance God's mission, to encourage our mission partners, to bless him, and to please God. Imagine the eternal impact if we all just followed that teenager's example. Because it's not about the amount. It's about the heart. It's about the generosity that flows from whatever you're giving. Imagine the local and global impact if every member of First Baptist, or every member even in this room, gave generously to our mission partners. Imagine the difference it would make. If we want to be a church that pushes back the darkness in our local community and in global cities around the world, and if we want to be a church that sees its best days ahead, then we will need to be a church that's full of generous givers, who cries out to God unashamedly, unapologetically, "Lord, we're all in on this mission of yours. We're totally surrendered because we want more people to know and follow Jesus. Lord, we want to support and serve our mission partners. Lord, we want to be faithful stewards of the resources you've given us. Lord, we want to see you do what only you can do through our mission partners, in our community, and in the cities around the world." Let's pray together. I'm just going to invite you to spend a few moments with God on this Thanksgiving week. Just thank God. Thank God for what he's done for you, for his generosity towards you. And now ask God, "God, what do you want me to do with what you've given me? God, how can I be a more faithful steward of the resources you've given me?" And talk to God about your next step of faith. Maybe it is to give your life to Jesus for the first time. Maybe it's to be baptized. We have at least 8 people that I know of who are going to be baptized here in a few weeks. And maybe that's your next step. Or maybe it is to give more generously. Whatever next step God is leading you to take, ask him to help you be obedient to that, to his leadership, to his direction. God, you're so generous. So generous that you gave up your one and only son so that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. That's how generous you are. So God, help us to be more like you, more generous with what you've given us. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the podcast from First Baptist Church in Cumming, Georgia. To learn more about First Baptist Cumming, visit us online at fbccumming.org.